Thank you, Bart. Cheryl here.
Hong
and I also need to leave. We have a 13:30 new GPLD briefing that the ALAC is running. So.
Okay. So, Hong, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Hong. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Thank you.
So just one more time, the roll call, and then we start, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, Donna, Tina, Gabby, Olaf, Bart, Kurt, Cheryl, Hong Shui, Ming Chang, Chris, Avery, Suzanne, Manal, Yanis, Charles, Heather, Kerry, Youngum, Bertrand. Who else? Somebody else? No?
You hear
okay.
Me? That sounds like it's everybody so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what time do we have?
It depends on where you're looking at.
How many minutes past the hour do we have?
10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. We could probably start. Just hold on for 1 second. Is there a light in the back of here? That'll do. That's fine. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just trying to get a light in the back of this car so I can actually see what I'm doing. Going to be very interesting. Okay, so let's start. We have a draft final report. As far as I can see, there are a number of points that we need to deal with. The vast majority of it seems to have not elicited much response, but there are a number of things that have elicited a response. Perhaps we could... hold on a second. Don't worry, it's fine. Perhaps we could deal with the points that I think are outstanding. Let me run through them as I understand them. There is a suggestion of amendments to Principle E. There is a suggestion of the insertion of some sort of clause or point regarding objection procedure or handling complaints, handling comments. And we have a couple of what I would consider to be minor issues. Yanis's point that currently it's worded that the technical committee doesn't have a veto, and whilst I don't think they do, it would be unfair, I think, to characterise an objection from the technical committee in the same way as one would characterise an objection from the language evaluation committee. So I think that's probably not a complicated issue. Are there any points that I've missed that we think that need to be dealt with?
Chris, this is Bertrand. You don't seem to have mentioned the question of the clearer separation between the string evaluation and the delegation.
Was that the point in your email, Bertrand?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Bart's comments assist you with that, or?
Well, I understand the comments, but I don't share them.
Okay.
I don't agree with them.
Shall we perhaps deal with that one first? Would you like to talk to that particular point, Bertrand?
As a matter of fact, I would. I think the email was clear. I'd like to hear the position of others.
Perhaps you could just summarize. Perhaps it would be helpful to summarize your point.
The basic idea is that nothing technically requires that the delegate is selected before the due diligence on the string and the language table is made.
Yeah,
I think it is an unnecessary constraint. It is much clearer in terms of process to separate more clearly the two elements. I do understand that it may mean that It is more, as Bart said, a reservation procedure, but I think, and I can elaborate on that afterwards, that it has huge political advantages in terms of showing progress and moving forward. I suggested a few modifications to the text. The structure of the text doesn't have to change at all, and I would be happy to know if it is something that can be considered.
But can I ask you a question? What would it mean? Can I perhaps take an example? And if I go wrong here with what you're suggesting, perhaps you could tell me. But say that the territory puts in a string, and it goes through a process for the. If I understand you correctly. It goes through a process for the technical committee to confirm that the string is okay, and the LEAP to confirm that the string is okay in accordance with all of the criteria. But the CCTLD manager hasn't been chosen yet, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what would happen at that point? Is it effectively reserved? Could nothing happen for the next 5 years? I mean, how would it be dealt with? If all of the criteria had been met, what status would exist for the for the want of a better term for the application without the designation of a CCTLD manager?
The exact same status that the one that is mentioned in the draft report at the moment. That says the stage two ends with the publication of the strings. There's no problem having a list of strings, and I believe that the earlier we have a clear visibility on the number of strings, the better. As a matter of fact, it might even allow us to alleviate the whole burden of developing full PDP in the future if there are only a certain number of strings that are really requested.
But are they effectively frozen forever?
Sorry?
Are they effectively frozen forever? I mean, does that mean that in 10 years' time, the actual request for delegation could be made?
Well, it wouldn't be that different from the situation that was the case with the ISO 3166 list, because as far as I understand, the delegation has not been made in the early stages, immediately after the decision that the ISO list was going to be adopted. So for a long period of time, in certain cases, there was no CCTLD manager and the string was still on the list.
Okay.
Can Carrie ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Carrie.
I'm a bit curious. Without one or several prospective operators of a domain, an application for the domain is actually senseless. So are we talking about setting up a list of labels that might reasonably become domains at some future point, or are we talking about applications for the establishment of an IBM-labeled TLD?
That's a really good question.
I understand the question fully. The thing is that we are completely overlooking at the moment the political context and the implications. We have discussed the notion of a fast track as early as Lisbon last year, which was a very good moment to launch this. The reality is that it has taken, and it is normal because those are delicate issues, a pretty long time to come to the present stage we are at. And my understanding is that the present report is not the final step, and we will have another round of discussions whether this is endorsed by all the community. In that period of time, what I know is that in a certain number of countries and regions, coordination has taken place, the strings have been identified, the variance table are being labeled, and nothing is rewarding any of those actors for the work that they have done during that period. I would see an immense benefit for everybody, for the ICANN community and for those actors, to have something that as fast as possible, at the latest by CAERO and ideally before, to be able for them to show the work that they've done. And I think that separating those two steps would allow the strings to emerge naturally, and the earlier we can have a clear vision of who is going to request one, the better. It will not trigger the land rush of reserving names forever. It will
But it is effectively reserving a name, though, is it not? Or have I misunderstood you?
But what would be the problem? If all the criteria that we set up in are validated, There is support from the community, no objection, the variance table are being established. It's a great step forward. If they take a little longer to select their TLD operators, who is it doing harm to? If you want to set up a
I'm not suggesting it is. I'm just trying to get clear on mm-hmm. what it is that you mean.
That's the right question.
Can I ask a second question? Because I'm actually starting.
Carry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
The fast track is intended to get a bunch of some IDN labeled TLDs into the root zone.
Yep.
As fast as possible, recognizing that there will be a more detailed policy development process for a future full production extension of this. And
correct.
Then what's being proposed here, this separating our present action into two things, seems to me as though one of those things is entirely consistent with the purpose of the fast track, and the other is yet another attempt to leapfrog policy development process on the basis of a mandate that I think it's tenuous enough to start with. So what you're suggesting is perfectly reasonable, but I'm not really sure how it is in the scope of the present exercise.
This is a very valid question. The first element is that nothing in the process that we're envisaging right now is contradicting the mandate of facilitating rapid introduction. Quite on the contrary, it will speed up the process because it will allow actors to come up very early to ICANN to submit the elements that they're ready with, and it allows ICANN to put and spread its effort of due diligence on a longer period of time. For instance, at the moment, there are cases where the variance table are being discussed or the string is being selected, but because this process of fast track is not finalized yet, nothing has been started at all. So it doesn't contradict at all the objective of the fast track approach.
Bertrand, can I ask you, if you don't mind, ask you a question, because otherwise we'll run ahead. So I need to ask, let's assume that we did that.
Mm-hmm.
So what would the status be of a string of an IDN CCTLD string that had been suggested, that had gone through the technical and the language evaluation process and stopped at that point? It wouldn't have been to the board. So what would the status of that string actually be?
At the moment, it is recommended that ICANN publishes a selected string in the identified language and other formats, and the advice of the technical committee and so on, and support endorsed by the relevant stakeholders.
Yeah.
That's the status. It is published by ICANN.
But it hasn't been approved. It hasn't been approved?
Certainly not for delegation. For introduction, it has been approved as a candidate, let's call it this. As an accepted candidate string.
And what's the advantage of that? Because I'm not clear what the advantage of that is.
The amazing political advantage is that it would allow in a relatively short time to make a joint announcement by ICANN and by the different other actors that there is an agreement on what the string is going to be and that the...
But that implies that it would have to be approved by the board at that point.
This is when I'm having great difficulty hearing you all, so excuse me if I'm repeating things that have been discussed.
I don't know who's speaking, but I can't hear a word you're saying.
It's Manal.
Oh, Manal. Manal, are you on a speaker?
Yes, I can't hear you also, so...
We can't hear you, or if I can't hear you.
Let me check with the operator.
Please have your passcode and conference leader's name available. A coordinator will assist you momentarily.
Manal, can you hear me?
Hello?
Manal, can you hear me?
Yes, not very clear, but I can hear you.
You are really echoey. Are you on a speakerphone?
I'm just trying to make you from that song. We suggesting just to move the designation of the CCPLG registry to a later stage, because I see your point. This is what we actually, this is the normal thing that any government would do. This is what we've done within the Arab countries. We started by discussing the language tables, the strings and everything, and now we're designating the CCPLG. So it comes real time, practically it comes to the later stage.
Sorry?
Is there anyone in 88?
Hello?
Remind.
Yes?
She's online, but the connection is very bad.
Manal, it's really hard to hear you. It's very hard to hear what you're saying, or certainly for me it's very hard to hear what you're saying. Perhaps, Manal, you could hang up and dial in again.
I know, it's mine. I can't go to British TA. I'm wondering, this one is complaining about it.
I'm sorry, I've no idea who that was.
That was the operator.
Oh, okay, fine.
They're trying to see what's wrong with the line.
Okay, fine. Sorry, everybody.
Please continue talking.
Yes, we'll do that.
Chris, while Manal is trying to reconnect...
Yes,
I think you're raising a very good question. Do I understand you well that you would actually... you wonder whether this should stay at that stage or get a sort of intermediary approval by the board that would be limited to the string, pending further discussion on the delegation? Is that what you mean?
Well, that was certainly my point, and I'm suggesting to you that I wonder whether there's I'm not sure that the board that a sort of interim approval of a string is of itself of any value in the fast track. I'm just not really clear. I can see your point, but
you raise a very valid question, and I would actually support this notion of having something that is coming to the board and validating that a given string has covered the first step. And this has a political advantage in terms of showing that progress is being made, because we are not working in a vacuum. And I mean, everybody is looking and watching ICANN in terms of handling the multi-stakeholder environment. You get discussions outside, and there is a need and a great benefit for ICANN to show what it is doing and what is happening, which is moving forward. So it would probably help in that direction.
But my question would be: is that something that is the role of the fast track? If the role of the fast track is to using colloquial terms, is to release a pressure valve and to actually create IDN CCTLD. In other words, the role of the fast track was never intended to be to allow for early identification of strings. The role of the fast track was, at least in my understanding, was to enable the facilitation of the delegation of a number of strings in a fast mode. My question, I suppose, is are we overstretching the point to actually allow the designation of what the string would be? And if we do that, do we then have to put in place a series of systems or methodologies that allow for changes in between the identification of the string in it today and the application for the delegation of the string in a year or two or three years' time? And will there be dangers of having people assume that string will actually be delegated in a year's time or 2 years' time or 3 years' time, because it will be public and it will be out there even though it hasn't actually been delegated? And are we actually stepping into territory that is dangerous, because the impression has been given that this is in fact acceptable and will be delegated, but in fact it may not be, for all sorts of possible reasons that we have no way of knowing the answers mm-hmm. to.
So, Chris Yannis.
Yes, Yannis.
I'm also kind of skeptical about this particular proposal in the fast track, because it seems to me that we try to prejudge the outcome of PDP and our discussion with the reference table is needed. I think the majority wants that the reference table of IBM strings is needed, which would facilitate our life enormously. But at this stage, I don't think that we can make already judgment on that. We need to go through the process. We need this discussion, and I think that we should leave this for the PDP.
Can I ask? Thank you, Yannis. Can I ask if anybody else on the call is in favour of following Bertrand's proposal that, and if I get this wrong, Bertrand, you please correct me, the proposal that a territory should be able to go through the stage of identifying the string and having it checked by the technical community and the language evaluation panel without actually being ready to put in a request for delegation. I think that's basically what Bertrand is saying, and if I'm wrong, is there anyone else who agrees with that as a methodology?
As just a precision, Chris, I have no problem in that perspective with setting a time limit and for the delegation itself. I understand the notion, but it's not necessarily something that is open forever. The goal is not to open the floodgates. It's to allow the actors that have already made a certain number of steps to enter the process in a more streamlined manner.
So how long would you consider would be the time frame on that basis then, Bertrand?
Having something that says that if the delegation per se is not put in place or presented within the 2 years, then it doesn't work. For instance, can be another
okay.
duration, but I think it makes sense.
Okay, so if I can then rephrase my summation of your suggestion, it would be that the string is put forward, but the CCTLD manager designate does not have to be in place for an agreed period of time, which in your suggestion is 2 years, and that therefore the process could go through to the end of what we're calling at this moment stage two, and then it would stop in certain circumstances and wait for a fixed period of time. Is that fair enough? Does that sum up what you're saying, Bertrand?
Yes, the period of time is that the delegation should be submitted within the 2 year period.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
So if everyone else is clear on that, can I ask if there's anyone on the call who actually agrees with that as a suggestion for the fast track? Okay, so that sounds to me like that for the purposes of this discussion on this call, there's no agreement on that.
Could I ask in the reverse if there is anybody that is strongly opposed?
Well, yes, Yannis.
I don't see the connection between proposal of Bertrand and the fast track. So there is a merit in the proposal. I'm not contesting that, but in relation to the fast track, it may happen if PDP ends in 1 year, fast track after 1 year will not exist anymore. So it may happen that PDP will take longer, but again, it is prejudgment, and we say that fast track and methodology will not prejudge us nor CDP. So that's why I really have a difficulty to reconcile these, the proposal and the fast track methodology. But the fast track, as we see, it is already, most probably we will have already prepared proposals coming from limited number of countries which have been working on this for years already, and it will be really fast. And now introducing different elements, we first of all, we complicate things, we confuse the process, and we will certainly not make it fast. The benefit, where I see the biggest political benefit for ICANN, if we endorse this proposal recommendations in Paris in June, we launch the process in Cairo, in Arab countries, where we know that there will be several Arab countries which will go into the fast track, and that will be the biggest political benefit from ICANN if we can maintain this this timetable.
Excuse me, this is Suzanne. Could I chime in with a question that may be rather foolish, so bear with me, it's very early.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Thank you. I wonder if it might not be possible, it's sort of implied in the paper, but it's not stated very clearly, and this might help clarify which countries / operators are interested, ready, willing, etc. If we have something that we use, it's an administrative procedure in the United States called a RFI, a request for information. And
yep.
It's a way of determining who out there has the skills, the willingness, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. Is it possible to work that into this process so that we have a snapshot before the applications start to come in? There is a, people will put up their hands and say, I'm ready.
Yep.
Is that, I had a sense it was implied, but I wasn't quite sure that that's what was considered. So thank you.
I think that's a really interesting how shall I put it, preliminary step that one could take. Can I just go back a step for a moment and just from my personal point of view deal with what Bertrand is suggesting.
Yes,
I agree with I think it's a very interesting point, Suzanne, and it may be something that we could build in. I think I agree with Yanis, and I think the key here is this. At the very beginning of these discussions, certainly my original idea, and I think the original idea of those of us that were sort of intimately involved with this at the very beginning, was that the fast track would be a sort of window where you would say, right, we are open for fast track applications today, and you put your application in within the next, you know, month, 90 days, 180 days, whatever. And we've moved away from that precisely because of the point that Bertrand is making, which is that there are plenty of territories that may actually want to go into the fast track but are not actually ready. And the way we've dealt with that is rather than do it in the way that Bertrand is suggesting, but we've said, let's have the fast track process as an open process that runs from the day that you say, yes, we're going to do this, until the day that the policy development process policy is actually mandated. And my view is that that is what actually solves the political problem of not being ready, rather than suggesting that you can sort of halfway be in the fast track and reserve your name. And I think I would have more empathy with your suggestion, Bertrand, if I thought that there was a possibility of there being, you know, competition for a particular stream. But we're dealing with CCTLDs here, and there really isn't going to be any competition. There might be objections or concerns, but there's highly unlikely to be any competition for a particular string. And on that basis, it seems to me that your problem is solved by the fact that we've said it's an open process that stays open for as long as it takes. And if you want to come in, you can come in at any time between now and then, provided you're ready. So that's my view, and I'd be very interested to hear if others support Bertrand's view or alternatively the opposing view.
I agree with you, Chris. I think that we've talked about countries being ready, being able to fast track for those countries that are not ready. Open process.
Yeah. Anyone else want to comment? Suzanne, can I deal with the point that you've raised then on that on the basis that no one else has anything to say at this moment?
Sure.
Can I ask that the idea of having a sort of please let us know on day one if you're going to be in this game or not certainly has merit as a suggestion. My question to you would be, and if I don't let you know, does that mean that I can't do it in 2 years' time?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that would be my take. But this is a way, I think it might help answer a number of outstanding questions. Because there appears to be a great deal of uncertainty as to, you know, how many might come forward, how did they arrive at that particular proposed string. Do they have the support of the local internet community? All of these sort of things. This might well be a way for us to at least have a snapshot of knowing who is prepared right now, this instant. The minute the process starts, this is your lineup.
So I think that's, I absolutely agree with you. And can I, my suggestion would be that if we were going to do this, the way we would do it is this. We would use it as a measure to assist the staff with implementation.
Yes.
So what you would do is you would say, right, this is, and this is just an example, so bear with me on this. The board, let's just assume that the board, that we agree some recommendations, they go to the board agrees those recommendations at a board meeting after Paris and says to the staff, right, the working group recommendations are approved, go away and figure out the implementation, and as a first step to that, go out to the community and ask how many CCTLDs are actually ready right now to take part in the fast track, because that will help you with your implementation.
I think so. It probably isn't more in the implementation phase. I just thought the IDNC as a group might want to think about it. So that's why I threw
No. I'm suggesting we could actually make that as a recommendation. We could say we recommend that as a first step to implementation, we actually find out how many are ready.
Thank you.
Yes, Giannis.
No problem with the suggestion. I think CCNSO did it already at the very beginning of this process when you send out the letters to CCTLD operators. Checking.
But that was only the CCs, of course.
Yeah, I was kind of discouraged from doing this by a few people on the GAC side, and now I regret that. But anyway. Well, my point is different. My point is we need to, when we recommend this, we need to think what are the mechanisms of reaching out, because we know that there are only 100 members in the GAC. There are maybe about the same number of members in CCNSO. How a board would reach out all those territories which are not coming to the meetings with this question.
Yes.
This is something that we need really suggest that attention should be paid to global reach out, that we are not missing anybody, and this may be with a letter of chairman of the board to the let's say government of each or internet community, multi-stakeholder community of each territory, with that question.
Okay, I agree with that. Somebody wants to say something?
No, yeah, this is Bertrand. Just to say that
yes,
I'm very fine with the suggestion by Suzanne. I fully support it, and it's a very nice step. It doesn't solve completely some of the other issues that led me to suggest the mechanism that I was suggesting, but as I see that at that stage, there's not enough support for the mechanism I was proposing, what Suzanne suggests is a very good way to go in that direction.
Excellent. So, Bart, can we, Bart, assuming we actually reach some sort of conclusion eventually, on the whole thing, we need to work on a recommendation, a clause in the agreement that suggests all of that. So, are you clear enough to be able to draft something up in the next day or so on that particular point?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good.
Hi,
all right.
This is Edmund. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, this is Edmund. I just joined a few minutes ago. I just want to say that I also think it's a great idea. In fact, one of the things that I've raised a couple of times in the past as well, an RFI idea. But one clarification, though, I guess, from Suzanne, does that also include the possible string that the CCPLD would be looking for? Because I think that would also be, very useful for the process.
I couldn't agree more. I think it has to be really comprehensive, the response.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think, thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Evan. I think, yes, I think we could say, what did you call it, Suzanne, a request for?
An RFI, request for information.
Yeah, request information. So what we could say is, okay, the launch of the fast track has been approved. Currently, we are working on implementation. While we are doing that, could you please let us know the following things? Can you meet this criteria? Are you ready? What's your string? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This is Avery. Can I ask a question?
Yes, Avery.
Would those responses be made public?
Very good. Very good question, Avery. Excellent, excellent question, Avery.
Thank you.
I'm not going to answer that question. I someone else can have a go at that one.
I don't think
so. I personally have no problem, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think, Avery, I think, honestly, at this early stage, at this particularly early stage, governments, CCTLD managers might be a bit uncomfortable about revealing, given that they might be wrong, or they might be causing difficulties, they might be uncomfortable. Now, my personal view is I personally don't have any problem with that, but I can see that there would be issues.
Okay, then I'm not going to argue the point. Obviously, my opinion is probably fairly obvious. We should probably make a note when that's being written at that quite specifically these things would not be made public so that when we're in the comment people can comment on that.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, I think yes, accepted. I think if we said... And your response to this RFI will be going to X, whoever, Kurt or a staff group, and it will not go any further. That at least is actually going to. I suspect that what that will do is actually encourage more people to be straightforward and respond, and therefore the information received will actually be more valuable.
Yeah, I didn't mean in the RFID request, but in our documentation about the RFID request.
Yeah. Okay,
fine.
Somebody else had something?
Yeah, this is Edmund. I just want to have a suggestion on this issue. I think it's respectable for certain countries to want, or CCTLD to want it to be confidential, but we should also offer an option for the applicant to say, I'm fine with it being public.
Sure. But actually, Edmund, there's no problem with the quote applicant unquote making it public themselves. I mean, there's nothing to stop a proposed CCTLD manager or government or whatever. From a particular territory, from making the fact that they put in this response to an RFI public, I think the key to managing the politics of this is to make it the responsibility of the responder, the territory itself, to decide if they want it to be public or not.
I completely understand. I guess my point is this also helps with ICANN implementation. I guess the CCPLD is more comfortable of it being public. It's likely, you know, quote unquote, more ready, if you will. And I think it's probably a good process, you know, just to have it in the process to allow the applicant to say, you know, whether we should, you know, have it public or not.
I have no problem with that at all. But the political key to this is to give the rights to the territory, not to ICANN. That's the key. And I have no problem with which way around you do that, whether you say, tell us whether you want us to make it public or not, or you make it public, whichever, doesn't matter. The key is that it's up to the territory to decide.
Chris, this is Bertrand. Just an additional precision on this. I think we're going in the right direction. Could it be possible to make public just one thing, not the string, which is always the case that is going to be problematic, but just the intention of an applicant to submit something and the script in which it intends to do this. So that ICANN, for instance, could say we have received basically 25 notices of intention.
Yeah.
That many are in those scripts, and these are the things. Not the string. Is that possible?
Good question. I've got no idea, because you're talking to me. I don't care if you make it public or not. Giannis, yeah. What do you think the governments would feel about that?
May I suggest that we move forward, say, with the next item, and just leave this item, say, the basic idea of the RFI. We put something in the draft report and leave as much open to implementation as possible. But I think four elements are clear now.
Okay.
Yes.
Everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. All right.
To ask, so that in making it as brief as possible, you say, but the intent is that this information be confidential.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Now that was Bertrand's first point. Bertrand, if you don't mind, can we leave point number two for a minute? And go to one of the other outstanding points we have to deal with, which is whether there should be an amendment to Principle E, which currently says that the string and the CCPLD manager designation should be non-contentious within the territory. I would basically call on anyone who believes that suggested change should be made to speak up on this call right now.
Hi, this is Edmund. Of course, I've been speaking to this issue. I have been trying to send in a wording the whole day. I have been on a plane, on a couple of planes, and on an event, and just got off stage right now. So I haven't been able to send it in. I have some suggestions. Not a lot of edits to make it, I think, work better for you know, involving, you know, some of the other incorporating some of the considerations, but mainly to slightly decouple the string and the delegation, but remaining in the description within the territory.
I understand that, Edmund, but basically, following on your original or your request from the other day, which I perfectly understand, which is that you decouple the handling comments from the amendments to Principle E.
I mean decoupling the string and the delegation to the CCPLD manager.
So I'm simply asking if anyone else apart from you agrees with the, with the exact wording doesn't really matter unless you have something specific that you want to suggest. What we're talking about is effectively, in all practical terms, the removal of the in-territory bit of that particular principle and simply saying that either in respect to both the string and the CCTLD manager or in respect to one or either of them, it should be non-contentious full stop. And what I'm requesting is anyone who agrees with your suggestion that they...
Actually, I've changed that a little bit. I've been thinking, you know, in my email I was saying in the last few days, couple of weeks actually, I've been thinking about the issue and talking about the issue with a number of people and made some changes to the thinking. I think in terms of the type of wording, sorry I haven't been able to send it in. I really wanted to. I tried really hard, honestly. But basically what I'm saying, my suggestion now is to first decouple the two and saying that for the delegation of the CCTLD to the CCTLD manager, that should be non-contentious within the territory.
Okay, and so we have no discussion. So we have no discussion on that, so we can ignore that for now. Okay.
And for the stringing itself, we should focus on that it should be non-contentious within the territory, and also it should be non-contentious for the security and stability of the internet community at large, as a whole. I think that, with that slight addition, which is so consistent with the overall, ICANN approach, I think that resolves the issue very well.
Okay. Does anyone agree with that?
I think the basic premise of this working group was that the proposed stream does not conflict with the security and stability of the internet, and so I don't think we need to specifically include that.
Was that you, Youngham?
Yes, this is
Youngham. Yeah. Are you saying, if I can just paraphrase you, are you saying that's an overarching principle anyway? Sorry?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, okay. So does anyone want to agree with Edmund's suggestion that we amend it in accordance with those...
Can I ask a question, Mrs. Avery?
Yes, Avery.
As an observer, I think it's a wonderful change, but that's beside the point. The fact that something is an overarching principle doesn't mean that it's therefore inappropriate to mention it. And certainly one of the things that is not mentioned in this is that it is open for contentious, non-contentious on part of others in the community as to whether it meets the security and stability. So it's just it being an overarching principle doesn't necessarily mean that anyone is allowed
sure.
to comment on that fact without saying that.
I understand.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that in. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that.
Chris Yannis.
Yes, Yannis.
Very specific and clear mentioning that the technical committee has the veto right if proposed strings may influence the and security of internet.
Yeah.
Whether that is not sufficient to cover the concern what Edmund just raised and rephrased.
Yeah.
So I think Edmund? The difference is in that the technical committee, the two committees are in process wise, but this is in the principles area, and I think that's the difference.
Okay.
Disagree. I think technical committee will examine proposed string from different aspects, whether that corresponds to all existing standards, whether there is no possible confusion with other scripts and so on. And if they will consider that there might be confusion, they will say, look, this is not the right thing and we cannot accept because this may create instability. From technical point of view, so and this is what you're talking about, or I misunderstand you, Edmund.
Okay.
I think we're really on the same page in terms of I agree that this is sort of within the scope of the committee. What I'm raising, I guess, at the in terms of our report, I think it makes for that principle to be a stronger one if we tie it into, this overarching concept. And the important thing is that I really don't think it contradicts each other, but it actually complements each other, I think.
So again, thank you. Does anyone, the current situation, if I can try and summarize, the current situation is that there is an overarching principle of not interfering with the security and stability, et cetera, et cetera. The technical committee is looking at it from all sorts of areas that are listed, and the principle itself says that the string should be non-contentious in the territory. Does anyone agree with Edmund's suggestion? And again, Edmund, I'm sorry if I'm paraphrasing you, and if you want to get more specific, please say so, that it should actually say that the string should be non-contentious in the territory and non-contentious from a security and stability point of view.
That is, in essence, what I'm suggesting. Again, I have it better written up. I'm really sorry.
We can get what you're saying if you know.
Chris, this is Holm.
Yes. Yes, Holm.
Well, I didn't really catch the second half of the suggestion made by Edmund. It should be with respect to the string. We are now decoupling the string and the manager. With respect to the string, it should be non-contentious within the territory and what would be the second aspect? Sorry, I missed that part. It should be non-contentious within the whole community.
No, he's talking about security and stability. I think, Edmund, what are you saying that it should be?
Correct. The security and stability of the internet.
Yeah. So Hong, what Edmund's saying is that the fact that the string is non-contentious in respect to the security and stability of the internet should be specifically stated in that principle.
Oh, I see. Oh, I can't see any problem by adding the second half. But my question is how to prove that it is non-contentious to the security and stability to the internet. If there could be an effective mechanism to prove that.
Yeah.
I guess it is a...
As Jonas has mentioned, in our process, we actually address this principle by having the committee.
Can Carrie comment on this, please?
Yes, Carrie, go ahead.
I'm not really sure we need to fret too much about this, because if the roster that's put forward for YANA consideration should contain something that the root operators regard as, I don't think they're going to use the word contentious, they're going to use the word a threat to the security and stability of the operation of the DNS.
Absolutely.
The proposal is not going to be, there's not going to result in a delegation. So there's a review of anything that's put on the TLD track that is going to trap this stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry to keep pushing this, but I think, you know, I'm really keen that we try and deal with this stuff right now. So I ask again, does anyone want to support Edmund's suggestion for changes to Principle E? Okay. Well, no one's speaking up, so I'll assume for the moment that there is no support for that.
I guess in any case, I'll still send it in and, you know, let people take a look. My feeling, you know, I did think about it quite at length, and you know, if people can take a look at it and think about it, I would truly appreciate it.
Edmund, I think I'm struggling to hear you, but I think what you just said is you're going to send a note in. Is that right?
Yeah, I was just saying that I would still send in what I have.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
and,
that's,
you know,
fine. If you can send that in as soon as possible, that's fantastic. Thank you.
I will try.
Okay, excellent. Right. So that's that. The we have one, I think, we have one more point to deal with, which is wrapped up in what started off as a discussion on objection processes or procedures, has sort of moved to a labeling of handling comments, and it's been kind of summarized, for want of a better term, I think, by Bertrand, your post to the second point in your post to the list of 2 days ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we could start with, because your suggestion is, if perhaps I could put it this way, is your suggestion is handling complaints light. I think Edmund's original suggestion was a bit more heavy, for want of a better term. So maybe we should start, Edmund, with you, and then I'll move on from there. Are you there, Edmund? Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was distracted here. Sorry, I'm at an actual event, so sorry about that.
That's okay. So do you want to address the issue of handling complaints? Handling comments. I apologize. Handling comments. Edmund, are you there? Hello, Edmund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
sorry, I meant to say that I'm actually, I can't speak to you. Could you come back to me in like about 10 minutes? Sorry,
I can't hear you, Edmund. Say that again.
He can't speak at the moment.
Anyway, oh, okay, fine. All right. So in that case, thank you, Avery. So, Bertrand, do you want to lead off on this discussion then?
Yeah, well, fundamentally, I've been looking at the different comments and the various extremes of the positions. Fundamentally, what I try to do is to apply the mechanism that is mentioned in the GAC-CCTLD principles, which is the principle of subsidiarity, and that fundamentally issues regarding CCTLDs in general should be handled at the lowest possible level. What I saw is that there is one level which we have handled, which is any contention within the ISO 3166 territory. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what happens in the few cases, and we have some in mind, it can be Taiwan, but it can be others, where there is a potential problem between two territories in the ISO list, or at least two territories that are using the same script because they have a problem between themselves for whatever reason that has nothing to do with ICANN. My concern is that if we put the whole burden only on the board in the end to have to handle all this, it is not going to be in a position to solve ongoing political problems. So my attempt here is to provide a foundation and a basis that will allow the board to basically say, well, this is a problem that should be handled among the different actors from that script community. And it is not a constraint, because fundamentally there is no, the formulation that I propose, which is territories using the same script, should hold consultations to address any issue regarding their string selection prior to submitting their application for the fast-track process. It doesn't bring any veto right to anybody. It only says that in case some actor who knows that there is going to be a problem goes through the whole process and the objection is coming from another side to the board has the possibility to say, well, you know what, this is not up to the board to decide. First, you need to have consultations and try to sort this out together. That's basically the objective. Having a principle that establishes a sort of responsibility of a second level within the script community, and I think it is good to initiate this notion that there are a certain number of things that should be discussed within the script community. Maybe the formulation, and it's my last point, the formulation is not perfect, But what I wanted to put forward is this notion that the kind of problems we anticipate should be handled first and foremost within the community of countries or territories using the same script.
Could I ask a couple of questions for clarification?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, my first question is, do you mean script or language?
I mean script.
So that would mean that that Iran has to consult with the Arab-speaking nations in respect to a Farsi IDN CCTLD.
No, it says that I know the question, and I've been discussing that. What it means is that if there is a string that is chosen by an Arab country using an Arabic string, and it goes to the board, and basically Iran, to take this example, has a formal objection regarding this thing, either the objection is considered not relevant and there's no problem. I don't see whether there is a problem, but if there is a problem, yes, I think the obligation of the interest of previous consultation is on the responsibility of the different script communities, and I know that, having discussed with Manal, that actually the Arab group and Pakistan and Iran are discussing among themselves to manage their variant table, and this should be encouraged. So it is exactly covering this.
I have a question. Does it matter that Israel also has Arabic as an official language?
Yes, exactly.
It's a very interesting question.
Well, it's a very relevant question because it means that you would require those territories to communicate formally prior to putting forward a script, and that simply isn't going to happen.
Why?
In a number of cases.
Why?
Why?
I don't see why. Doesn't mean that it has to be providing a solution. It doesn't mean that it has to arrive at a complete agreement. But if there is no discussion at all, there's no way there will be an agreement, and I don't see how the board could take a decision on those issues.
What's the difference between me saying, I'm sorry, I don't talk to any of the other territories that use my script, therefore I'm not going to talk to them, here's what I want, please give it to me, and the board needing to make a decision about whether or not I should have that, and me saying, I have spoken to those territories and they don't agree with me, but I still want what I want. Please provide me with my script. I don't see what advantage that provides the board at all, because they still have to make a decision based on a territory's request for a script, irrespective of whether there's been a discussion with other territories that may use that particular script.
Well, the general idea facilitate a back and forth mechanism that will allow to test the resilience of the objection, the validity of the objection, and so on. Otherwise, you get a situation where the board basically has one request and then other pressures that may not be official, and this is another element that I'm trying to solve, is that unofficial and backdoor pressure is the hardest thing to handle by the board in terms of transparency and accountability. It is much easier to say to the territory, apparently there is an issue among the territories that are using the same script, and this needs to be discussed because we are not in a position to solve. Fundamentally, let's be very frank with one another. The problems we're addressing here is Taiwan, Palestine, and potentially Korea. Okay? I mean, let's be very frank. Why should we shy away from that? These are issues, and I don't see the board taking a decision on that completely on its own behalf.
And why do you think it's the job of this working group? to create a circumstance. I mean, sorry, I'll actually let me start that again. What I genuinely do not understand the difference between asking the board to make a decision based on a simple application, for want of a better term, by a territory that may or may not elicit letters of complaint or political lobbying from another territory, on the one hand, and on the other hand, put in place a process that says, please go away and talk to each other first, and then come back, and then have them come back and say, well, we've spoken to each other and we still can't reach agreement, and this is what we want. If what you're saying is that unless they reach agreement, there shouldn't be a delegation.
No, I'm not.
Well, then, if you're not saying that, then what's the difference? I don't understand.
The whole difference is that it forces people to take a preliminary step, which is to talk among themselves. And
right.
I think it is valuable.
I
should be encouraged.
Sorry, who was that?
Yes, this is Youngham.
Yes, Youngham.
Yes, I don't agree with Richard. You specifically used the word forces countries to speak, and if you,
you're right. I retract this.
But basically that is what it's trying to do. It is trying to force the countries to speak to each other if they want an idea shared. And
yeah.
I don't think that that ICANN has the the authority or the right. Let me rephrase that. I think ICANN would be trying to be too much of a global coordinator. Issues that have to do with things other than the internet. If I stated myself.
Absolutely. And if I may use Korea as an example.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that there is a massive this is only an example. There is a massive difference between a methodology that allows for South Korea to put in a request for delegation for an IDN-CC-TLD. That has the ability to allow North Korea to send whatever letters it likes to the board objecting to that, and having the board either look at those and take some store by them or ignore them. There's a massive difference between that on the one hand, and on the other hand, a methodology that says until you have actually, the two of you have actually sat down and spoken to each other, then you can't put in, then your request for a delegation isn't going to go anywhere. Because what you're doing, it seems to me, is trying to create a level of diplomacy which may or may not be politically acceptable to the territories concerned.
Oh, Chris, may I make a comment? I understand something.
Well, yes, of course you may. It's your point, but
yeah. No. I fully see that what you're addressing here is a very valid point, and this is why I said it is a very basis for discussion. What you're addressing here is the very word prior. And in that respect, you're absolutely right. The formulation that I've proposed has two elements that I understand are bothersome for both Jian and for you. Jian is objecting fundamentally to the should hold consultations as it seems to force the territories. Actually, this was not the intention. It's an encouragement of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, you're right that the present formulation seems to imply that as long as they haven't sat down together, they're not even able to submit their application. And in that respect, you're right, this is too strong.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is that we're trying to address the situation whereby the board somehow receives information that the string is causing, that there is an issue regarding the string selection, coming from the same script space.
But are they not going to do that anyway, Bertrand?
What?
Surely. But they're going to do that anyway. They're going to receive that anyway. Do you seriously imagine I have no other way of doing this but using Taiwan as an example, so I apologize for those who find it offensive. If the Taiwanese put in a request for delegation for a script that China that finds difficult to deal with, offensive, whatever, they are going to write to the board, say whatever they want to say. They have every right to do that. My point is, if we enshrine that in a process, then we have to have an answer. Then we have to say, and the following consequences will flow. Whereas if you actually simply leave it the way that it is, and what that means is that China can write whatever letters it writes, and the board can do whatever it needs to do.
What about?
I just don't think it's fair for us to try and impose a solution in those circumstances.
I completely agree with you.
Sorry.
Yes, Avery.
This is Youngham.
Sorry, Youngham.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Sir.
Say again.
He agrees.
I completely agree. All
right. Okay. Thank you, Youngham. We could go on discussing this for hours. Can I ask for anyone else to join in this discussion if anyone agrees?
Yes.
With... Sorry, yeah. Yes, Carrie.
Charles Chaman speaking.
Sorry, yes.
May I recommend then something in between maybe to solve this issue and not to get into politics, as you said, in brief. Maybe if there is a script or a language used by multiple languages uses the same script, we recommend if they can talk together to have one script for all, as is happening now with the example you just mentioned with the Arabic script for the Pharisee and Arabic speaking countries. They are already having a small working group. Manal is one of them, and I think they are getting somewhere. It's good. But we can't enforce it, as you said, Chris. So we recommend for the people using the same script, let's say, to have something jointly. But if not, we can't enforce it. They can come up with their own script for their own language. Thank you.
Okay,
Chris.
Thank you, Charles.
Chris, may I make a suggestion that might alleviate things?
Yes, sir.
Following what Charles was saying, what about territories using the same script are encouraged to coordinate to address any issue regarding their string selection or the establishment of their language tables?
Can Carrie comment on that briefly, please?
Yeah. Hang on. One second, Carrie. Bertrand, have you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, Carrie, go ahead.
I'd just like to call your attention to the fact that some of the scripts that are used by a large number of languages span massive numbers of national boundaries. So the notion of coordinating, say, all of the users of the Arabic script or all of the users of the Cyrillic script, and let's assume that the exclusion of Latin script somehow does not prove viable. This is a general principle. This is very, very easy to say, but may prove time-consumingly difficult to implement.
Carrie, I take your point, but if it is just a statement of encouragement to do something, and no more than that. In other words, it's basically the same. We've already made that statement in the report in respect to the
language table.
The language table.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to extend that slightly to deal with the issues that Bertrand has raised, and again, it's clearly a statement of encouragement rather than anything else. I accept completely your point, but would that in any way alleviate your concern?
The only concern I have is that we proceed fully aware of just how massively intricate linguistically, culturally, and politically the concept of sharing large scripts can be.
Yes, I understood and completely appreciated. Thank you. Can I suggest that maybe the way forward with this is, given that what we're going to be doing is producing a report that is going to go out for comment anyway, that perhaps Bart and I could work on a slight expansion of the current wording, either in its existing paragraph or in a separate paragraph, but that encapsulates what Bertrand has just suggested, and we move forward with that and see what response we get. Is that okay with everybody? Does anyone object to that? No. Okay. Good. In that case, now, does anyone have any other points that they want to raise in respect to the current draft, bearing in mind that we're going to be making some changes to it as we've discussed in this call?
Hi, this is Edmund. I'm back, but I'm in an even more noisy place. There are a couple of points I wanted to make. I was going to send it in email as well. I don't know whether Avery has mentioned it or not, but it came out from the session of the GSO that it seems like there's an inconsistency on the definition for non-Latin script, one of which happens to be, I think, Principle D, maybe? And then the other coming from the process, stage 1.1, where it just defines non-Latin as a slightly different definition. I think we just need to clarify and clean up that.
Edmund, I think I get the gist of what you're saying, but it's really hard to hear you. Can I ask you to drop us a note as soon as you can on that point? I mean, it sounds fine, but I'm struggling to hear you. So I think you're talking about the definition of Latin and non-Latin, I think.
Correct, that is the case. And there was a inconsistency with the definition that I think we should be able to address it.
I understand. That's fine. Agreed. If you can drop a note on to that effect. All right. Well,
There was one more.
Yeah.
Another sort of minor issue. There was a discussion on IDNA 208, which doesn't have any definition for. So we should probably describe what IDNA 208 really is. And
yep.
If it's not something that is already completed, does it have implication on the fast track in that it cannot start until we have a completed IDNA 2008?
My understanding is the answer to that question is yes, that it does have to be completed, but maybe I've misunderstood.
Yeah, this is Aubrey. That's something we probably need to get confirmed all the way around.
Yeah.
Maybe Carrie has some extra news on it, but I've never been really sure whether that was included as an absolute a priori need that the new IDN work be done before there were any new IDN TLDs.
Okay. That was certainly my understanding was that we effectively may complete our recommendations. And they may, in fact, go into a sort of hiatus because we are waiting for the IDNA protocols to be updated. But Bart, can you perhaps liaise with offline with Carrie and Patrick and John and actually work out what needs to happen in respect to that?
I can give you a 15-minute dumb response to that will save the offline discussion, at least.
Yeah.
In a very real sense, if it is not IDNA 2008, in other words, if the protocol revision is not concluded during the course of this year, that probably means that there are aspects of the protocol revision that are themselves under protracted discussion and therefore difficult to predict the outcome. The IETF is meeting in late July outside of Dublin. The IDNA BIS working group will be requesting time. The chair of that working group, who is Vince Cerf, will be requesting time for meetings, as far as I understand. And certainly by the end of that meeting, we will have a very clear answer to the timetable there. However, the matter of simply listing candidate TLD labels
probably isn't going to run into any difficulty, regardless of what the protocol revision may end up being. But requiring a delegee to agree to the conditions of a document that itself hasn't been finalized is
that makes sense. So we can write that into the document if we need to. Well, we do need to. So we need to do that.
And Carrie, can I ask one other question?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a question to Carrie on this particular topic. Is if I understand what's being done correctly, as long as one picks carefully within the technical constraints of what's proposed for IDNA BIS, then one doesn't actually need for IDNA BIS to both be approved and deployed.
In my personal assessment of the situation, the one component of the present action, that is, determining what the TLD labels are to be, that can be conducted without need for concern about the protocol revision, with one potential exception, and that is that the revised protocol is going to recognize scripts that have recently been added to Unicode that are not currently supported by IDNA at all. And any territory that might be used will be able to play. But we know what those candidate scripts are, so it will be very easy in the terms of reference for the actual requesting process to second guess that aspect of the protocol revision. And again, the rest is just a matter of contractual nuance, but I'm assuming we're not going to see that advance for a while yet.
And one last comment, and none of those yet to be included from the newest version of Unicode have been included in the ICANN tested script.
No, because it's
obviously,
technically
because
impossible. The IDNA protocol that is currently available only recognizes version 3.2 of Unicode, and we're already at version 5.1. I think 5.2 is at hand. So the purpose of the protocol revision is to make it possible for new scripts, as they are added to Unicode, automatically to be accessible for IDNA. But we do know what is in the Unicode pipeline.
So since we already had a condition that these things had to already have been approved by ICANN, you know, any script that was going to be included had to have already been through the ICANN approval process for that script. I think what Karen has said is that while it'd be really good if IDNA BIS or IDNA 2008 was out, there's probably no necessary material technical requirements that it must be. But it's still ambiguous, and that's why I was looking for an answer.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can work on that and get some wording, and Bart can liaise with Carrie and whoever else to get that sorted.
The entire what is called informal design team will be at the Paris meeting. Every single one of them is going to be around.
Yeah,
so,
not exactly. Okay, I think we're probably done on this call.
Chris, this is Bethel.
Yes.
Just a very minor thing that I'm forwarding on behalf of somebody from the GAC, which is Rayanta Fernando from Sri Lanka. He wanted to suggest that in the document, whenever there's the expression, an acronym of the name of
it should also say abbreviation.
An abbreviation, okay.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that, Bertrand. In fact, it's covered by the use of the term, the name or part of the name, but I'm very comfortable to include the term abbreviation. I think that's fine. And Janusz's point also about the technical committee being able to effectively say no is, I think, important, and I don't think that's contentious with anybody. So,
can I make a purely editorial suggestion?
Yes, Carrie.
The word acronym is actually used incorrectly in the document. And
the
corresponding concept is actually initialism. The United States of America, when referred to as the USA, that's an initialism. If it were an acronym, it would be the USA. But the notion of abbreviation...
you've got to love a fellow pedant. Thank you.
But the notion of abbreviation does not exist in every linguistic context. So
I understand
that the wording be... the name of the territory or some accepted short form
as applied regularly in the territory, whatever it might be, but just introduce an unladen in both pedantic and grammatical and cultural senses.
I accept that completely. What would be really helpful, if you wouldn't mind, is if you could just drop barter notes of that specific point in words that we can then insert into a document.
Okay, I can do that.
Sure. Thank you, Carrie. Okay, does anyone...
I can probably offer some help there, too, because we went through a very long process of defining just that term for the Dot Asia Sunrise, so I'll send some things to you, Mark.
Thank you, Edmund, that's great.
Okay,
I think we're probably done, unless anybody has anything else they need to talk about. Last chance. Okay, fantastic, thank you. Now, Bart, you and I will get this out to everybody in the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, and it's so everybody is aware. What we try to do, and hope everybody agrees on this call, that we try to publish it on Friday on the ICANN website. And again, under the caveat, this is a draft.
Yeah, and it's yet to be formally approved by the working group, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed, everybody. Unless there's a major issue, we won't talk again formally until we meet in Paris on the Saturday. Let's hope that we get some useful input from the community on the draft report that we publish. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.